part about the answer to that puzzle is business futurist Maurice Maslowski from businessfuturist.com. Maurice, good morning.
Good morning.
Maurice, feeding 9.7 billion people, how on earth can the planet cope with that?
It's not going to be an easy task, is it? And when you put into that the realms that we're growing a middle class into China, India and a whole lot of developing other countries, we're going to have people that are going to be eating proteins, going to be eating more vegetables, going to be eating more of the foods that currently require even more water. So it's a completely different world that we're headed into in the next 20 or 30 years. And the question that I've been talking to farmers for years is how we're going to cope with it. And over the last few years, there's been some really interesting innovations around how we might do it. Some of them include what's now known as a vertical farm. And Singapore brought one of these in the last 3 weeks. So this is the first commercial application of it. Singapore, as we know, is a very, very small island. It only currently grows 7% of its vegetable and fruit needs and imports the rest of them. So what they've done is to build 30-foot towers, 30-foot high towers, 120 of them, and they grow fruit and vegetables inside of it. And they harvest about 1,000 pounds of vegetables and fruit every day out of it already. Well, it does. And even in our environments, you know, if you put a 30-storey vertical farm up, it's the equivalent of a 10-square-kilometre farm. And you can bring the food closer to the urban environment, so you don't have the logistics of having to cart it across towns or across countries. So that's one of the ways that we're looking at doing into the future. It kind of makes sense. And I know a lot of the urban developers now are looking at it to incorporate into their skyscrapers. And we're talking 5, 10, 15 years from now. Perhaps 1, 2, 3 stories of that will be dedicated to growing food for the building.
Interesting one. Yeah, so growing crops in urban settings may be part of the future. What about technology? Will that move in when it comes to farmers as well? They've got any other ideas afoot?
Yeah, absolutely. So farming has become quite robotic and mechanized only in the last 5 years or so. There are now some really interesting robots. There's a thing called Prospero, which, if you can imagine back to the day when we had the character thing from the Addams Family, you know, that little hand that used to run around? That's exactly what it looks like. It looks like a robotic hand, and they work in swarms. So there are 10s, 20s, 30s, I mean, as many as you can afford to have. And these little hands run around the field, and they plant the seeds.
Oh, how creepy.
So it absolutely is, to look at it, it's the creepiest thing out, but it's quite beautiful to watch the orchestration. What they do is they figure out where the best place to plant the seed is according to the soil, the air and the water and all sorts of other things. They then will plant the seed to an exact depth and they will mark it, and they'll also let the other swarms know where the seed's been planted so that they can all plant appropriately. And what you end up with is this mechanized ballet of a field being planted by these little hands that are literally running around semi-independently.
Incredible. So is that the future then, a totally automated process when it comes to farming?
It won't be totally automated, but it will certainly be part of a future. We know that, of course, nothing's going to suit everybody, but some elements of this will. It's been increasingly difficult to find people to assist on farming, to get workers, is a problem all around the world. So this is one way to do it. These robots also work 24/7. And it's not just in that, but there are robots now that will do the picking. So we'll go out onto the fruit crops at this stage and be able to pick the oranges, the pears, the apples. There's also robots that have come in the last 2 years that know the difference between weeds and plants. And specifically, there was a one launched in the last 4 months that can go through a lettuce patch and pick out every single weed. Quite incredible. And the largest grower of salad vegetables in America actually uses robots to go out and pick the crops for them. And they'll choose exactly what they need and how much of it they need. The robot will go out and pick it up and then bring it back into store.
Uh-huh. Now, this is ABC Waibai. I'm having a chat with business futurist Maurice Maslowski from businessfuturist.com, taking a look at the future of farming. Of course, all this farming, though, still needs plenty of water. How can we grow crops with the water supply diminishing in the future?
And that's a big issue moving forward, that we're going to need much water, not just for growing crops, but also if we increase our need for milk, for meat, for other high-use products. All of those require water somewhere in that process. So what we're looking at now is being able to grow fruit. Hydroponics has been around for quite a while and is growing in demand, and we're going to see the use of salt water. I saw in the last couple of weeks what are very, very large pods. They're floating pods, and they put them out to sea, not very far out, and they're able to pick up the salt water or the water from the ocean to take out the salt in the mechanism of this very large, think like a large lilo, a large area, and inside of it the crops that are growing. So they're self-feeding from a water perspective. That's very prototype, but there are all those sorts of things around at the moment.
What about synthetic food? Is that a possibility in the future?
It's a really interesting thought. Now, there was this comment made of 50 years hence, we shall escape the absurdity of growing a whole chicken to just eat the breast or the wing by growing these parts separately under suitable mechanisms. That was said in 1932 by Winston Churchill. And we haven't moved much on it, but I think if Winston came around now, he'd be amazed at how far only in the last few years we've come. We are now at the time when they are prototyping the growing of a hamburger or a chicken wing or a chicken breast inside of a petri dish. So in fact, no animals were harmed in the making of it at all.
It sounds again a bit creepy. Any idea how that would taste?
At this stage, that's the problem. It doesn't. It tastes fairly awful. And what they're doing is working with nanotechnology to be able to put taste back into it. But the most incredible point is, for me, that they've been able to actually produce the hamburger or the chicken wing. Now, as you said rightly, this is 5, 10, 15 years away from going to market. But there's a lot of money going into it in the very recent past. And animal activists like PETA are putting a lot of money into it as well. Because what we're seeing then is if we can grow synthetic food that tastes and has all the protein and nutrients that we need in it, and we're not harming animals in any way, it's a great boon for everybody.
Yeah, fascinating. What about supermarkets growing their own food? So we actually go in there and sort of pluck what we want. Is that a possibility?
Well, it is. And we're seeing the growth of farmers' markets around the world, and especially in Australia. Many of us like to go out to them on the weekend. And that's really the rural coming back into the urban environment. And what we're seeing in Europe especially is a number of supermarkets that have taken it a step further, and they're actually growing fruits and vegetables in store or on the roof in most cases. So they've repurposed the roof where the air conditioning and other things might have been, and they've got a crop out there, and their customers can go out and literally pick the fruit and vegetables they want and then take them to the checkout.
Anything else we should watch out for?
I think it's the whole notion of what farming is becoming, what it will become into the future. It's a very specialised area. The farmers that I speak to are in no way against any of this because of the reality of it being huge geography and diminishing resources with which to grow it. So there are lots of new business models around for them, lots of ways for them to stay on the land, stay connected to people, they don't feel so isolated anymore. So this whole area of farming has opened up over the last decade, and I think in the next 10 years we're going to see significant difference in the sorts of things that we have to eat and the sorts of ways that they're grown for us.
So it sounds like you're quite confident that with human creativity we'll be able to cope with the 9.7 billion people and still have food on the table.
I think with human innovation we'll be able to. We're certainly going to have to make some sacrifices and change some of the ways that we eat and consume, but we're starting to do that already. So I'm certainly buoyant that we will be able to feed ourselves for the next 50, 100 years and beyond.
Absolutely fascinating as always. Maurice, just remind us about how people can keep up with what's trending and what's ahead on your Facebook.
Sure. So Facebook is just Business Futurist.
Excellent. We'll catch you again in a couple of weeks. Maurice Mislowski, thanks very much.
Look forward to it.
Thanks now. Maurice Mislowski from businessfuturist.com on ABC White Bay.